I'm Laura. I'm an addict.
Hi.
I am nervous, so if I fall all over my words, please be gentle. I've done this many times, and I still get nervous, even though I ask God to speak through me. It's just me. I'm here to talk to you about the first three steps. But I first want to say, if you're new in NA and you got under a year, welcome to a new life. It is here. It is here. You have to chase it, though, harder than you did your drugs. Because the only way you will stick and stay in NA and get a new life going on is to work the steps. For me, this was my second time in. I started a little bit about really looking at me when I came into the rooms in 79. I didn't stop using. I got a sponsor, I looked at their steps and said, oh, I don't think so. The only thing I'm manageable in Lori's life is her hair. And that's okay, because I love my do. I would not be honest and look at me. So I went back out for 10 more years at warp speed, and I crawled in at 89 pounds. This disease got me in the door probably right before I was ready to die. And I truly have a respect for my disease today. I do not want to go there. I do not want to use just for today. So I've been sitting in my seat in these rooms for 16 years. And I'm not special. I still go through changes that are heavy. My sponsor still bumps me back to the first three steps because I'm powerless over my husband or work or, you know, I can let myself get nuts today. I do not need a drug. My disease lives between my two ears. I can go there all by myself. I don't need your help. And I can get way down low all on my own. But because I've been working real hard on this for so long, I clearly see it. And I say, Laura, it's like sitting in a dirty diaper. How long are you going to stay there? Do you want to feel that way? Do you want to think that way? So for me, this time coming through, I wanted to get clean. I wanted to get happy, and I was clueless. So I knew when I picked up the phone and called the hotline and went to my first meeting in Frederick, Maryland, to a place where I knew nobody at all, and I reached out to these women and these people with the hand of my little girl. She was a little over 3 and a half. She'll be 20 in June. I knew that if I didn't tell you, I am in pain, please help me, I was going to die. I knew I had to work the steps. I knew I had to look at me. So I had to accept I was an addict. That was my first thing, my first gift to me. When I accepted I was an addict, I could do the first step. I could admit and accept I was an addict, and that is okay. I was clearly, easily ready to tell you, yes, my life's unmanageable, it's nuts, I wish it was yours, I don't want to look at it, but I needed to unload the pain in my head and my heart. By working the steps of the sponsor, I had to allow this stranger to let her know me all the way. I had to tear walls down, let her all the way in. Because this is about letting her all the way in so I can heal and start the journey of recovery. So I had to unload the pain in my head and my heart by working the steps. I had to tell myself, Laurie, put the drugs down, the bad attitude, and get God going on, or you're going to die. This was not easy for me. I detoxed in the rooms at 89 pounds. I would not go to rehab. I wouldn't leave that baby. And I was nuts. So I knew I needed 2 meetings a day for the first 2 years and therapy because I wanted to get better. I wanted your long-term quality recovery now, but you kept saying, you got what you got, be grateful. Work that first step. I thought I'd never get off that first step that first year. I said, God, I'm screwed up. I've learned that it's okay to keep repeating the steps over in my life today. I taught myself that I had to have a good attitude about going to meetings. I didn't like it in the early 80s. I love going to meetings today, still 16 years later. I've gone to meetings all around the world, and it's awesome. Recovery is there, but I have to reach out. You cannot help me if I do not tell you where I'm at. So I have to let you in. So that first step for me, I had to do acceptance. And we got this great step working guide, and I want to read to you, because I'm nervous, I forget. I just turned 54 the other day, so you know. But I do not let my age be my cage. There are spiritual principles behind each one of our steps. And the first one is honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, humility, and acceptance. Did I know what that was when I got here? No, I did not. So I had to listen. Am I not clear about it sometimes today? Yeah, I'm unclear. So I still have to call my sponsor. I have to go to meetings, and I have to listen. Yes, I have to talk and tell you where I'm at, but I still need to learn that I have to listen. A well-stated problem is half solved. I learned that. I have the disease of addiction. This is a disease of feelings. I started this journey of addiction in 1967. I am here to tell you the Stones and the Beatles were new. Everybody was demonstrating against the Vietnam War. There were hippies, free love, great drugs, and my face was in all of it. And I did that at warp speed for 23 years. And what I found is I did not find what I was seeking all those years. I found it here in NA. I was out there seeking all those times using just a little bit of unconditional love and peace, and I never found it. I found it here when I introduced myself to me. The steps gently introduce you to you if you allow them. There's nothing scary about them. You've got to heal that past, live in the present, and dream the future. That's what the steps are about. Because I had not a clue who I was at 38 when I crawled in these rooms. NA not only saved my life, it changed my life. But I had to chase hard after that. I cannot allow fear to surround me in my life today. Fear is just as bad as using. It makes me stand still. I do not move forward. When I am in fear, it's like you put me on pause. What good am I to me unless anybody else around me? I have to confront my fears today, and my biggest one was in that second step. I did not have a loving God when I got here. I grew up in this family that was dysfunctional. Do any of you know what that is? Little Irish Catholic girl. And for me, that did not work for me. I don't mean to offend anybody, but it just did not work for me. The messages I received as a child from my mom and the Catholic nuns and all that were sick and twisted, and it messed me up. So, you know, I started using it 15 to hide from the pain of my life. So when I got here and heard that you all had this loving, kind God, well, I wanted one of those. I wanted what you had, but I was told I had to get my own. In the second step, to me it's an action step, there's one word that's magical. It says could. It does not say would. You cannot close your eyes, make a big fat wish, and you got God going on. It is a habit most of us have to develop after we get here. It does not happen like that. I remember when I was first clean, laying on my, you know, getting down on my knees in a dark room all by myself, self-conscious of that. Feeling, isn't that silly? That is silly to feel silly about getting on my knees trying to learn how to pray. Today I talk to God anywhere. I can be in my car and you can look over at me. Well, that girl's nuts. Well, that's all right with me. Because I'm busy too. I'm talking to God. I can get God on 270 or anywhere. God lives within your heart. He lives here in my heart. And that's why I still love to go to meetings, because God speaks for you. You all are like God with skin on, and isn't that awesome? Think about it. I believe with all my heart that my God keeps me clean, but you all help keep me sane. You taught me that it's okay to cry. You taught me it's okay to laugh. You taught me how to have fun being clean. When I had no concept of that. I thought life was going to end if I couldn't use. So I had to get comfortable with prayer. I had to develop this blind faith. I had to develop this trust. I had to develop this love for a loving, caring God that you all had. But for the first, good while, you, the group, was my higher power, because you were bigger than me, because there was a lot of you. And when they said, Laura, you need to listen, shut up, I decided, you know what? My decisions haven't been good all these years. Bring it on. I'll be quiet. Just take the baby so I'm not worried. Because I used to worry in the beginning that she was disrupting the meeting. But single moms need meetings. So my baby went to meetings for years. And she still goes to my anniversaries today. So I had to came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Was I insane? Well, of course I was. That's not such a stretch when I honestly look at me. And some days, today. So I really had to spend a lot of time on that second step. It was really important for me to really focus and feel that I was being sincere in prayer, that I was really connecting to God. The third step, made a decision to give him my life and be in charge. Oh, I don't know. That's a toughie. Isn't my messy life real small compared to all the world's problems? How many times have I told myself that sick message? That God's too busy for Laurie. That is so silly too. I really can tell myself silly stuff today, and I see it. It's like right there. And it's like God saying, do I have your attention again, Laurie? Wake up. You're important too. I got room. So I had to learn to turn my life over to God. So each morning, I pray for him to hold my hand and walk me through the day, to do his will, not mine, and to please speak through me. But sometimes this little Irish girl still thinks he's too busy. So I get behind the driver wheel. And it's like I'm driving down a one-way street, going the wrong way, and am I going to wreck? Oh yeah, you can count on that. That's a given. How nuts is that? So I clearly see it. I call someone in recovery. I take a deep breath. And I remember, the only thing that really matters in life, the only thing is the people who love me and the people I love. That is the only thing that matters. And that became so clear and true to me when I got breast cancer 3 years ago. And I stayed clean. Was I scared, shocked, and sad? Yeah. Could I drive the car home that morning? No. Someone in recovery came and got me, along with my daughter. And they took me to all these surgeries. And I'm cancer-free today. I remember first telling a girlfriend after I was diagnosed, why me? And she goes, why not you? You need to help other women that get this. Sure enough, 2 months after I settled down with this, a woman's in a meeting sharing that she had to go get another intensive mammogram because it didn't look good, and she couldn't get a doctor for a whole month. I took her outside, flipped open the phone, called my surgeon. She saw him the next day, and 2 days later, we opened her up, and boom, she's okay. Sometimes we need to leave our areas to get good doctors. You know, we need to go where it's important to go, because that's just the way it is sometimes. And so I had to leave the Frederick area because cancer's bigger than a cough. I have to take care of my heart today. Still today. I'm only 12 days off this chemo, and I'm tired. I'm not supposed to be stopping this chemo for 2.5 more years. But when I got a letter from AstraZeneca, the drug manufacturer that makes this, saying they're stopping giving it to their patients, but not why, I'm to go to my oncologist and find out another type of therapy? I went, what is in this crap? I'm done with it. God's going to take care of me. So last week, I made some big decisions, turning 54. The next day, I put the medicine down. My husband was a little nuts, so, you know, when you stop going to meetings, even though you're clean, you get a little nuts. And I set a boundary and said, you aren't going to talk to me that way. I've got self-respect. So you go do you with your recovery. I'm going to go do me. And God willing, we'll put this back together. But I need some space. You know, I never stopped going to meetings so I could see he was nuts. But you know what? I was dipping into his program too much. I need to stay out of his program. God put him in my life for a reason. And we love each other dearly. And you may bump into him later this afternoon. But you know, it doesn't matter if we get a bunch of time like he and I have. We still need to know we have to always reach out. We still need to know we are powerless over people, places, and things. And of course, drugs. And that our lives can get nuts today, so we need to go to meetings. We need to feel comfortable going to meetings. We need to tell you where we are at so you can help us. That is why the we is in front of every one of our steps but the last one. The we is there because I cannot do this without you. So the first three steps are the beginning of your foundation in a strong recovery. And those spiritual principles are something to strive for. That they're awesome. And it seems to me I've always been working patience, tolerance, and acceptance. I guess I always will. But you know what? When I know I need to be working acceptance, it does not occur to Laurie I need to be working it when I'm having a good time. It is only when I'm walking through pain that I see I need to be working acceptance. So all these principles, all these steps gently introduce you to you. So don't make your recovery hard for you like I did for myself in the beginning by being afraid. If you heard nothing that I said to you today, remember You have to reach beyond your fears to see the magic God has for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.